So today we want to talk to you about a dynamic that happened between the two of us that really like flipped back and forth in the last couple of days. And what happened was basically Tara said something that kind of hurt to hear.
I said, well, basically, I feel like I can't support you without losing myself. Like I either have to choose to be in this heaviness with you or this stressful place, or I have to find my joyful mood elsewhere since you can't be in it with me right now. And that just felt like neither of those two feel really good for me, but I felt a little trapped.
And then basically 2 days later, I walked into the kitchen and Tara was in a really dark place. And I felt that thing of like, well, what? Do I just like leave her and just let her be? Do I try to get her out of it? Mm-hmm. And it brought us to this question that we want to explore today is, you know, what is really our job as each other's partner when the other person is really struggling?
Yes. And the question we ask is,
am I trying to love my partner or am I trying to change their emotional state so I feel more comfortable?
Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast, where we talk all things relationships, whether it's our own or just providing some really good psychoeducation on skills we need to have awesome, intimate relationships that we deserve. I'm Tara Kerwin.
My name is EJ Kerwin. And today we're asking the question, what does love look like if it's no longer my responsibility to change my partner's mood? And this came out of 2 separate moments. So first, you set the stage on the first one with me, Tara.
All right. Gosh, it was the other night. And I'm just like in my like light mood. Like it just feels good. I love when I'm in light moods because going through all these, as anyone knows, menopause symptoms, like when I'm in my light mood, I'm like, yes, winning. I've had good sleep. I had a good day. I felt productive. I probably worked out or went to yoga. I am jamming. And then I just sense this like heaviness from EJ and I'm just like, oh. And then it just reminds me of like all those heavy times in our relationship. And then I'm trying to like get out of him, like what's happening? And how can I change things? And then I'm going into my tunnel of like codependency, like, okay, like if you're heavy, I just have to be heavy too, or I have to find my joy elsewhere. I create this whole story for myself. Like if, because I'm joyful and you're not, that I can't hold on to my joy. And it sucks because my moments of joy are like very important to me now. So then I get resentful towards you that you can't be consistently joyful. Yeah. And I get confused because I'm like, oh my God, yesterday he was like so light and it felt so good. And he was like kissing me and like smiling. And today, like, I don't think we've even looked at each other in the eyes and he hasn't even hugged me once. Like, I just get into this story of like, I don't even know, victim and sadness. And like, EJ just needs to be more consistent in his mood.
Yes. And then, okay, so what's interesting is we went through that and it wasn't an easy conversation because what Tara was saying is like, I feel like I lose myself with you. I just have to join you in that, or I just have to leave you behind and I'm not doing it anymore. And so it felt like all this pressure on me of like, I just got to get over whatever I'm in, right? Yeah. So then fast forward
like 2 days
48 in. Hours later.
Or a day later.
Well, it could have been, who knows? And
I think it was.
We finished our day. It feels like it's been a pretty good day. I'm excited. I'm having a good day. And I walk into the kitchen and Tara is just...
I'm shut down.
Shut down. Dark. I don't think... not just shut down. Like everything sucks in our life. And I go into the same place where I'm like, I don't understand. Like we just like painted our house and you were so excited and life was amazing and you appreciated me. And now it's like,
yeah,
everything sucks. And so I have a similar but different protocol I go through of like, there's this part of me that just wants to leave the kitchen. It's just like, I don't want to be around this. This is like, this is not fun. But then I'm like, no, I can't do that. So then it's like, okay, how do I help her? How do I do
get her out of
how do I get her out of this? Right. And basically what it came down to when we started talking about like, wow, these two things happened at the yeah. same time is like, what is going on here? Like we both in these moments feel like it's our job to get the other person to stop being or feeling whatever they're feeling.
Yeah. So that it can match whatever we're feeling, make us less uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then when it doesn't work, right? Like when
well, we get defensive with each other. Like when we try to pull each other out of it, you got defensive with me and then I got defensive with you because my mind is like, oh, I guess I can't be in a bad mood because EJ needs me to be in a good mood. So
yeah, you'll even say stuff like, what do you want me to be? What do you need from me? Tell me yeah. what to do. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm just trying to help. And so you'll
go into your justification. Like when I'm doing the same thing to you, you go into like justification mode.
Yeah, I go, yeah, totally.
It's like a heavy money week and da 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 da.
Yeah, I try to help you understand and it doesn't work because then you feel like I'm being defensive. And so I think like the first thing we have to talk about is like, let's talk about from each side. Okay. First, and we can identify, this is like wonderful because this is one of the few things in our relationship where we really both experience both sides of this dynamic, right? So when, let's both sit together in okay. this. So when we're the one who is feeling sort of put out by the other person's mood,
mm-hmm.
like when I'm in a dark mood, when you're in a negative mood, mm-hmm. what's it like for us to be the person witnessing that?
For me, I feel a little powerless and confused. Like I don't know how to help. And then I'm frustrated and I feel lonely and sad.
Yeah. I think I feel confused like you because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Especially because you're such a generally happy person. And so when it just like I'm like, what happened? Like that's always like almost my first instinct. And I have to be careful about saying that to you because then it's like it messages something's wrong with you. But my mind is automatically like, what's going on? Yeah. Like who did what? What who screwed up? Who screwed up here? Was it me? And then I do feel resentful mm-hmm. because it's like so it's hard to be around, right? Yeah. And then I feel like maybe a feeling of dejection.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point?
I could say that I also feel resentful. And I think that's the piece that we both feel in those moments of suffering. We can feel it from each other. So that's where it feels yucky.
We resent that the other person is dragging our asses down.
And that's where like emotional safety is. We're still working on that area. Yeah.
Okay. So let's switch. Now let's both be the dark people. Mm-hmm. What's it like in those moments of darkness for you? When I'm like witnessing it, when I'm trying to interact with you, trying to support you?
Well, I feel like you're trying to make it better or change it. So then I feel even more stuck and resentful. And then I feel like I just need space and I just don't want you to talk to me because I know I'll figure it out myself. And I know that it'll pass. So stop trying to change it because I know it'll pass. So it feels like, again, maybe just I feel like I know you're trying to be helpful, but it's not helpful. So I just want you to leave. Sorry, I'm just being honest.
No, it's great to know. Like, I didn't know that. Like, because I always assume that you want me to stay. Like, because what you tell me afterwards in those moments is that you want me to come towards you. And so it's interesting that there's like some sort of a tug and pull there.
Well, no. I would want you to come towards me if it wasn't about you trying to change me.
Well, okay, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Yeah. Okay, so how about me? How do I feel in those moments? I feel judged.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I am on trial.
I am judging you.
Yes, yes, I feel it. It doesn't feel supportive. Like it doesn't feel like, oh, you're doing it because you really care I'm in a dark place. It feels like you're doing it because you are resentful that I'm struggling with stress around money, that I still don't understand why I get so grumpy when there's five kids sleeping over our house.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yes.
So I feel judged. And then I quickly just feel like, what's wrong with me? Like what is my problem? Like I get really like down on myself about like what is my problem.
Yes. Yes, that's another piece of it too. Sorry, just to bring this in. It's the summer and I'm trying to have more of like a light feel in the summer because I know school starts in 4 weeks and like, you know, our other life, which is amazing, is just like we're up by 5:30 and getting all the kids to school and like working our little tails off. And so I'm trying to create this like lightness for the summer for the next 4 weeks. And so now I'm creating pressure for the lightness too, because I want the summer to feel different than our normal like lives when the kids are in school, because there's just so much more responsibility. It's like it's so nice to just like not have like the homework and the like lunches and the driving to all the different. And so I it's like even more, I'm like, we only have 4 weeks left. Like, please be light. Like, I just have this expectation that it'll be different for the summer. Yeah.
So
it's also unspoken expectations that might be a little tiny unrealistic.
So I think what we're talking to and being curious today about the position that both of us are in when the other person is struggling. Like, I think that's our primary focus here. And what we're identifying is that we both sort of do the same thing. Mm. We both are sort of resentful that the other person is in that negative headspace, and we're both sort of judging it, and we're both really frustrated and annoyed by the other person, but maybe also by our own inability to impact the situation. If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story, we tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes, or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you.
So why do we do that? Like, why do we?
Well, A, we're humans, and we just want to feel comfortable, and we want people to match our energy, right? I feel like that's just like a normal part of being human. Like, when I'm in a good mood and you're in a good mood, like, we're living our best lives. So I think it's like a piece of it's just like selfish. Well, you know, and then also, like, we're also in each other's orbits all of the time, and we're bound to like impact one another. And like, it looks like love. Like, if I can just get you out of this heavy place and like bring you to a light place, that'll be good for us. Right? Because it feels like love, but honestly what it is like we feel the opposite. We feel judged and like you have to change me. And so I think the better we get in these moments, like it'll pass and we can come back to each other. You know, we have to be more skillful. And I'm already know like what skill I would use next, which we can talk about later.
Well, I think that to name what you just said is the other person's emotional state becomes our emotional problem.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's like I'm heavy, you're negative, and it's your problem that I'm heavy.
Yeah.
Because it's negatively impacting you.
Yeah.
If you're negative, it's my problem.
Yeah.
That you're negative. So we don't look at
it.
Yeah. We don't look at it as an opportunity to be supportive of one another. We maybe kind of fake ourselves into believing we are being supportive.
That's true.
But really what we're doing, it's back to that whole caretaking thing, is we're caretaking the other person's emotional state because we're uncomfortable with the way it makes us feel.
Yes.
And that is problematic.
It is.
Yeah. Because what? Why doesn't that work for you? Like, when I'm fronting that I'm trying to really be there for you.
Because I can feel it. I can feel it's not genuine care in that moment. It's about me having to shift quickly because you're uncomfortable with my anger, sadness, disappointment, not whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we can feel if it's genuine or not.
So here's the other great question. Why do we confuse helping with changing? Well, I don't know. Do you think you're helping me in those moments?
I'm trying to help you, yeah, get out of heaviness. Like, everything's okay. Like, it's the summer. Like, we're good. Trust that we're okay.
Do you think, though, that that's like your inflection and tone when you're like, where you just said it?
No, because I'm like, here we go again. Like, he's getting heavy. It'll never change. It's always going to be this way. We'll never be able to have just like a light, playful tone. No, it totally brings me back to the heaviness of our lives for a really long time.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's a little bit different. You are so like attuned to when I'm genuine and I'm not. And for me, I'm doing everything I can to act like I'm coming from a place of care. Mm-hmm. But there's an underlying frustration, judgment. And really, I'm trying to change it. And I think that signals a lack of safety for you. I've never thought about this before.
Yeah.
That because I have a hard time honestly coming from a genuine place of I'm accepting you where you are and I'm just like trying to be curious and understand it, that then that signals a lack of safety to you. And what happens for me is I try to be just like process and get you to open up and talk to me about it. But what that leads to is you just kind of stating, well, this sucks about our life and this sucks about our life. And then I get like, I lose it because I start to just get like, oh, it starts to feel so heavy that I lose my care and I start to just want to go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it also is attached to just, again, why we do a lot of attachment work with ourselves and with couples that we work with is like, for me, like, I wasn't allowed to have like anger. I wasn't allowed to express myself because it was not okay. And I had to caretake other people to make sure like really bad things wouldn't happen. And so now I'm like, well, I'm 50. Like, I'm a fucking allowed to have fucking anger, man.
You say that. I can be angry if I want to be angry. I can be negative if I want
to
be negative.
So when you're trying to make it not like I can't be angry, it just reminds me of like the suppression I had to have for a really long time, even still with my family. Like, I hope you don't get triggered when you're home visiting. I'm like, well, if I fucking do, I do. Pardon my French, but I'm allowed to get fucking triggered. Pardon my French again. But, and so it's like just that one person that we don't, like we want to just be organically ourselves with is still trying to change me. And so that comes out. And then I know for you, and this is just my story, is like, right, like there were lots of unpredictable moods for you when you were younger. So when you come into the kitchen and like an hour before, I'm like, hey, honey, do you need anything from Whole Foods? And then I come home and I'm like, oh, something happened. It was unpredictable. And so you go into your whole...
I'm intolerant of it because I've have been around somebody my entire life who their mood state dictates everybody else's. And so I'm so intolerant of it with you because I'm like, I was having a freaking good day. I think also like I don't have a lot of highs. And so if I'm having like a great day and I'm like in a good place and then you're in a shit mood, I'm just like, come on.
And then I try to convince you like, EJ, this will pass. Like I just got really nauseous at a Whole Foods and I came home and like, and whipped cream was everywhere. I don't even know what happened, but like the dogs went through the trash, ate foil. I don't know. And then I get overwhelmed. It's like I know, and I convince you like it's going to pass. I'll be fine. I promise. Like in an hour, I'll be like totally myself again. But, and that just feels yucky. So.
Okay. So central to this, and this is like the question that we're asking ourselves and we want you to consider asking is instead of how do I get my partner out of this? What does love look like when my partner is in it?
Yeah.
Right? Because we know it's going to pass. You know, like I come out of my dark places, right? Mm-hmm. I get over my heaviness. I know for sure you come out of, I mean, yes, there are times you can get really negative about our life, right? But then also like, I just saw you like so appreciative and excited about the fact that we just painted one room.
I know.
Right? So I know you're going to come out of it. So how do I get out of wanting to change you and just loving you in those moments?
I don't know. How do you? I mean, it's like, again, new for us. I already know that. I think the next time I feel that heaviness from you, I'm going to first, before I say anything, I'm going to recognize the resentment because it will be there. No matter what, it will be there because heaviness, I'm like, my whole life has been so heavy. I just don't want it there anymore. And I'm going to first work through that individually myself. I don't quite know how yet. I might journal. I might plug it into chat and be like, here's what's happening. But I'm going to understand that first before I move towards you. And I'm going to see what that does. So again, we can follow up on this in this podcast. But I think for me, I'll like notice the resentment or that feeling of like eggshells, like, oh my gosh, it's heavy. And I'm going to start to recognize that the resentment piece, I think, is the one that actually pops up unconsciously. And then I go into my caretaking role that's not healthy. That's what I'm going to work on.
I think I'm going to work on recognizing first and naming that this is uncomfortable. Like without labeling, adding a bunch of adjectives, assigning blame to you, I'm going to be like, one, I'm in discomfort. And then the other, we just had somebody who like talked to us about this. I'm going to move my body. I'm going to like take a second. I might have to walk out of the room for a second. And because I think I freeze, like I think because it reminds me so much of my childhood of like somebody's in a bad mood. It's like, don't freaking move. Don't move because you might get their attention. And it might come out towards you. And that, because I think I freeze like physically in my body.
Mm-hmm. High Capacity Podcast, Michelle.
Yes, yes. Yeah. We have an interview coming up with her.
She's awesome.
I'm going to recognize that my central nervous system is saying like, don't move. because I think that will give me less resentment, because I think I'm locked up when I'm talking to you,
yes,
when I'm trying to show my love and care for you. I think I'm intellectually trying to do it, but I think my body is messaging to myself and you mm-hmm. that I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to like try to like, I'm gonna dance around the kitchen or something. Like I'm gonna
don't do it in front of me.
Yeah, I'm not gonna freeze. I'm not gonna let a part of me freeze.
Or you notice the freeze and then you get out of it quicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so okay, what we really want to differentiate here, and I'm gonna use my notes a little bit, is caretaking
versus
companionship. I love that, right? Mm-hmm. Is that when our partner is struggling, we want to be their companion.
Yeah.
We don't want to be their caretaker that's managing their emotions to make us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Caretaking, let's name it, needs my partner to feel different so I can relax.
Yes.
Caretaking starts
by
trying to change the other person.
Guilty.
Caretaking measures success by emotional improvement. Like if you get happier, then I'm doing a good job.
Winning.
And caretaking grows out of love, but it's driven by our own discomfort with what's going on.
Yes.
So those are the things we can nail down. Now, where we want to go, and what I'm trying to be better for you, and I think you're trying to be better for me.
I'm going
to
work on it.
Is companionship, right?
Yeah.
Like is beginning with understanding and really wanting to know.
Yeah.
You know?
And also the space too. Like I can tell things might not feel okay right now. And I want you to know that I'm okay with that. If you need to talk, I'm here. But I also want to be able to give you that space. Like really pure, like whatever you need, space, me, even being in the same room, like it's okay. Like I'm okay with your discomfort. I can feel like it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Companionship is being present, but not fixing.
Yes. Yes.
I can be with you. It's safe. Like it's safe. I am safe.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're in a shit mood.
Yeah.
I'm safe.
Yes, I'm you safe. Are.
I don't have to change it for me to be safe.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all central nervous system, right?
Yeah.
That's because I know I'm safe. I know you're not going to attack me.
Mm-hmm.
But my central nervous system is saying, if you're in a bad mood, it's not safe.
Yeah. Or I have to get you out of it.
Yes. And then the last thing about companionship is it trusts in this idea that emotional safety allows for the other person's growth.
Oh, I love that.
That if you can create a sense of okayness for yourself and okayness for your partner, that might lead them to actually understand whatever they're going through better. That if I'm feeling heavy and it's okay with you and you're curious about it, I might then be able to be like, why am I so heavy?
Yeah.
And let me let you in on that. And then that's intimate connection, right?
Versus, can I say, like a lot of clients I've worked with, couples, like if they notice their partner is heavy, they just don't say anything because they don't want to rock the boat. And then it just kind of goes under the rug. And so that's not even talked about. And so it's like it creates this like unconscious pattern of like, oh, don't want to say anything because they're heavy. Let this pass. But that totally stunts growth. For the other person. I get it. It's really scary. Like you don't want to, ruffle the feathers? But if you don't ruffle the feathers, like the eggshells will continue. And we don't ever want to have to be on eggshells. Like that feels awful. I was on those enough when I was little, man.
Yeah.
Shoo eggshells. I'm ready for like some slip and slide.
So the closing question we have for you to walk away from this and for you and your partner to talk about, in moments that the other person is struggling,
what happens
for are you loving them
mm-hmm.
or are you trying to change them?
And I would say to have this conversation like when things are neutral.
Yeah,
like
not really, when they're in a dark place.
Like when you're like right, like today, if you're like, I'm driving and I'm listening to this or I'm watching this on YouTube, whatever it is. It's like, I'm going to talk to my partner about what happens when their mood shifts. What happens for me? And are we doing this like caretaking thing? Do we sweep it under the rug? Do we just wait? Like, really get curious and really understand, like, how can we support each other in healthier ways? If there are some couples that are great and support each other when the other person's in, you know, funky moods or whatever, but there's a lot of people that don't. And so just like being curious and like ways, just kind of like we just modeled that today. Like, I'm going to recognize that there's resentment, which I didn't realize. I thought I was just frustrated. It's resentment. And EJ is going to work on not freezing, and he's going to move his body. So we just learned that today. So like something that you can individually do so that you can shift to more emotional safety in moments where your partner's mood might not be suiting yours, but yeah, that's okay.
And as always, we are on this road with you. That's what we love about this space. Yeah. We love about our community is we are all people together on this road to grow as humans, to have a better relationship. Tara and I have, like, things are, you know, things are evolving between you and I, but there's like, there's just ups and downs every damn day.
I know.
Every day it is. It's crazy.
Yes.
But yeah.
But we keep doing our work and just grateful for our audience. So thank you.
Yeah. Give us a like, give us a follow, tell us somebody you care about our show. It means a lot to us.
Yeah. As always, thanks so much for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other, especially in those difficult moments. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Singing on the train, me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me are we.
Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.